Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Dobson versus Figures. Also, another cannabis lawsuit. And the gaming bill goes to conference committee.
I gotta warn you, Clark, they don't play the same games here that they do at them regular casinos.
Daddy, this place is great.
It's in the boys' hands now. We'll see what happens. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I tell you, this past week, the elections down in Congressional District 2, As Josh's friend Chevy Chase would say, I couldn't have been more surprised if I'd have woken up with my head sewn to the carpet, because Samari Figures and Caroline Dobson were not supposed to win these races early on. They were not the favorites. The two incumbents were the favorite, or, you know, one incumbent and one person who had been a incumbent representative in that various area. Dick Brubaker and Anthony Daniels looked like the horses that were going to win. They got beaten like rented mules, Susan.
They really did. I was very shocked at the margins by what they got beat by. Daniels at 61% of the vote. And then Dobson took Brubaker with 58%. I mean, those are some whopping numbers.
Yeah.
They really are. Now, Samari, he was good in Montgomery County, and Dobson was good. She had strong support in Mobile, although Brubaker did lead in Montgomery. He still could not pull it off.
But I think, Josh, it was money, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at both of those campaigns, they were very well funded. In Figures' case, it was less of the campaign and more so a super PAC that was involved in helping him send out mailers and doing some ads and some other things that was related to the cryptocurrency folks that got involved in the race. With Dobson, it was her money.
Yeah.
A lot of it was her money, and then she poured a ton of it into it. She went negative on Brubaker, attacked him.
When you say you go negative, a lot of times it brings up the image of just nasty insults. And really, her insults were more, to give her some credit, her insults were more based on his votes and things like that. Now, I think a lot of it was misconstrued, and she played a role in this thing, this Trumpian role to kind of out-Trump Brubaker in this thing. But, that's at least it wasn't some sort of a nasty personal attack. So I'll say that for her. But, it was a surprise to me. I figure what was really interesting, especially on the Democratic side, is people seem to be taking this attitude of residency very seriously. Yeah. Well, you're talking, it was the residency issue. Well, what happened to Napoleon Bracey? I don't understand, where y'all drew the line on residency. And it seemed to me that it had a lot more to do with mailers talking about residency than it did the actual residency.
Well, I think, and again, not to pick favorites, I think that Mrs. Dobson, should she be the victor, would serve the Republican interest down there very well. I think if Samari Figures is elected, he would serve the Democrat interest there very well. I tend to think where Samari Figures was more concerned about issues that affected the district, Ms. Dobson, like so many Republicans, didn't really run on the issues mm-hmm. of the district. She ran on the hot button issues of Republican red meat, you know, the border.
In fact, sending legal citizens back to Mexico, children that had been born yeah. here, which under the Constitution, they are citizens. Yeah. She wanted to send them parents and them
yeah.
back to their places.
And I think what happens in the heat of the rhetoric, they forget the Constitution. Of course, she is an attorney. I'm sure she knows that their birthright.
That's a hell of a statement. I gotta say that's a hell of a statement. In the heat of the rhetoric, they forget the Constitution.
I think we've got a lot of examples of that.
We do. We have too many. Is the problem?
Yeah. It's a bit of a problem. You know, listen. What I find troubling the most about Ms. Dobson is that she's obviously a very well educated individual. She's a Harvard educated.
Yeah, she is.
All right, and she's gone to the finest schools for her entire life. There's no doubt about it that she's smart and she's cunning and she knows what she's doing here. And there's no way in the world that she believes half the crap that's come out.
But
you're right. You're 100% right about Shamari Figures. He's talked about the issues. He's addressed the issues. He connects better with the folks on the ground level there. And so it's going to actually come down to a race between two people, one who is talking about issues and coming up with solutions to solve problems for real people down there, and another one who's just running on the fact that there's an R outside.
Yeah. Well, and what we don't need is more Barry Moores in mm-hmm. Congress, the yeah. do-nothings, the obstructionists. And so I would like to think she's not that. I mean, most of our delegation is not that. Mm-hmm. Mike Rogers is not that. Even Gary Palmer is really not that. Adderholt, not that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got one bad apple, and we hope that people don't take that message and think, oh, Barry Moore won. He went because he's so MAGA. No, it was a bad campaign. And half that was his district to begin with. They already loved his idiot.
Of course, you know, we still have to go through an election to see who's actually going to win yeah. District 2. Yeah. And that's going to be very, very interesting. I think it's going to be very telling as well.
Well, and you know, that I think it's going to, if you look at the turnout, the Democrats turned out in greater numbers mm-hmm. than the Republicans did.
They certainly did.
They turned out in much greater numbers. Now, it will be a general election with Donald Trump on the ballot, so that will have an effect, mm-hmm. but you also have Black voters who, the first time in their lives, have had an opportunity to vote for a candidate of their choice. I will say, I want to skip over just real quickly, we only got about a minute. The Alabama legislature last week finally picked up this package, Working for Alabama, mm-hmm. which has got the child tax credit in it mm-hmm. and some other good things for the state. Other than that, they have done scant little to help the people, the working people of Alabama, other than those MAGA people. They've been feeding them sirloin and T-bone steak the entire session. Shame on them.
And this also package also has in it, you know, vocational opportunities for people.
Yeah.
Welders make extraordinary money. I mean, carpenters too. And so this opens up opportunities other than college education.
Well, actually, something that might help the working people, the working families of Alabama, they finally have gone to work on it. Anyway, we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Josh, this past week, a new lawsuit has popped up having to deal with the Medical Cannabis Commission. Surprise, surprise, more lawsuits. Right now, the legislature is looking at a fix that would basically remove the Cannabis Commission from the most of the selection process of giving licenses to folks because they've done such a terrible job at it. But there's also a new lawsuit, which you wrote about, which also offers a fix if the legislature fails to act.
Yeah, it's essentially to remove the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission altogether from the process of licensing, and in which the judge would appoint, the circuit court judge James Anderson in Montgomery would appoint a special master to oversee the process. And, you know, both of these processes, just to let people know that there is a legitimate problem that is taking place here, all right? Because both the legislature sees it and the court sees it as well, because both of them are looking at simply finding somebody to come in and say, here are the basic requirements under the law, which companies meet those basic requirements. The Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, through four attempts at this point, has been unable to do that basic thing.
And what has happened, Susan, is John McMillan has no control over his staff, and therefore the staff has run amok. They've ignored the statute, the law that says you have to do A, B, C, D, and E. They go, well, you can do A, and if you don't do B or C, we're okay. And really, if you don't do any of them, if we like you, that's okay too.
Yeah, of course, you know, at some point in there, we're going to find who liked their money more. But I mean, it's a checklist. You go, do they pass this? Yes. Do they pass this? No. Okay, you're out. But no, only one out of the nine that they had selected in these processes going forward in the past year, one had the $2 million performance bond.
But what
that's required.
But what we've seen, and both of you know this, what we've seen is companies that ticked off every box.
Yes.
Every box.
Yes.
Did not get a license, whereas big multi-state operators who did not meet the criteria got them.
Yeah.
I know
that
never got discussed. In any of this, two of them that I know, because I went and ticked their boxes myself.
Yeah.
And these two past were never discussed.
Josh?
Yeah, I think there's some question whenever somebody files a lawsuit from time to time, as like it's sour grapes. You know, these people have sour grapes and they're filing this lawsuit. Well, I just want you to think, if you're running one of these companies, okay, or you're invested in one of these companies, and you go out and you say, "Oh, well, we have to get a performance bond. We have to secure a facility because that's a requirement in the law. This is spelled out in the law. We have to be able to meet production deadlines and be ready to produce product within 60 days because that's in the law as well.
Yeah.
And there are other things in the law. And these people went out at certain companies and spent, some of them, millions of dollars to comply with this law because they felt assured if they did these things, they would meet the requirements of the law and that they would be able to get a license to operate in this state. And then somewhere along the way, this commission just arbitrarily changed what was required in the laws. And that's the reason for the lawsuits that are happening right here, because these people that they've given license to don't meet those basic requirements. They haven't spent that money. They've not invested in this state the way that they're supposed to. And that was the main requirement that the legislature had when they passed this thing. And that's why they're so ticked.
And the thing is, and I don't understand this, if we advised, I mean, if any boss had staff that ignored the rules of the game, whatever it is, if you ignore the rules, you're going to get your butt fired, or at least you should. But for some unknown reason, time and time again, John McMillan has let his staff ignore the rules. And then he's tried to protect them to say, oh, well, nobody's ignoring the rules here. It's clear. It's unambiguous that they have circumvented the very rules. And if I were in the legislature, I would get somebody's butt.
I have said from day one of that first selection that I would have fired the entire staff and started over. And anybody who works for me knows that I would do that.
Yeah.
And in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I went through at least 30 of these companies myself and checked off their criteria. Nothing matched what decision they made.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, as you have always told me, firings will continue until morale improves.
Absolutely.
But that does not seem to be the case, Josh, over at the Medical Cannabis Commission, where you can thumb those at the rules, at the legislature, and you just keep getting them big paychecks. A Parker report here, I want to get to this, shows it really talks about the low property taxes that Alabama pays, and then the high, really high sales tax that we pay. And it goes into why there's so much inequity in Alabama, in the school systems, and the way we fund things, because we don't use property taxes to fund things. That's a giveaway to big farmers, to big timber. That's giveaway money.
Oh, yeah.
What we do is we tax regular citizens to death.
That's kind of what it was designed in the Constitution, as far as I know.
And now we're going to raise the tax on internet sales. So we can tax them again. So what happened to these pledges?
They should call it a fee.
Well, it's no more taxes that you can see, right?
Yeah.
That's the reason. It's also built into our fine system that we have.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason why our court costs are so exorbitant. I mean, you can't you've essentially priced a whole section of the of Alabama society out of the court system by requiring these exorbitant fees to come in and file anything.
Yeah.
And then if you happen to get a ticket, you know, a speeding, most people don't realize this, a speeding ticket in this state only costs, I think, $35 or $40. But the fees that are associated with it bump it up to around $200.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is all built into this problem that we have, in which, and people say, well, if it's 10% for me, it's 10% for you. Yeah. But 10% matters a whole lot more to a guy earning $25,000 than it does to a person earning $250,000.
That's right.
All right. That's the unfairness part of this.
That's right. It is not fair. It's a regressive tax system that punishes the poor and enables the rich. But that's the Alabama way. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Back at the beginning of the session, the Alabama House of Representatives passed a comprehensive gaming bill that was the strongest, the best bill any of us have seen in a generation. A bill similar to the one that the Senate voted on and passed 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
When that bill hit the Senate, It went through the meat grinder, and what came out on the other side was chicken feed. That's all we got. Something that will be nothing to the people of Alabama, will not help education, will not help expand rural health care, will not do a lot of things that the House version did. Now, the House version, they said, we're not concurring with the Senate version. And then they decided they wanted to go to conference. Well, Senator Greg Reed came out and said, that President Pro Tem Greg Reed came out and said, well, we got to think about it. Well, they thought about it. And finally, this past week, they pulled the bill out of the basket and they went to conference committee, Susan. Mm-hmm. That's our only hope.
Right. And they picked, the Senate conferees are Bobby Singleton, Greg Allbritton, and
Garland Gudger.
Garland Gudger. Which should be a good selection there. It will be interesting to see what actually happens in conference committee, but at least it's advancing somewhat.
So, Josh, we have three members out of the House and three members out of the Senate, one Democrat, two Republicans in each conference committee, or the six, there's four and two. It looks like a good group. They look like the kind of lawmakers that might be able to reach a compromise. But we are now at a wait and see, aren't we?
Yeah, for the most part, it is kind of a wait and see. You're right. It is a good group of folks that can get in. And I think, and not just for gambling, but I think for pretty much any issue, right. If you put this group of people in a room, I think most people would say, well, you put six reasonable people in a room.
Yeah.
That could negotiate out pretty much any sort of a piece of legislation. And so I feel better about that, knowing that it's these six people going in there. But you're right. This bill that we had, this comprehensive bill from the House, was the best bill that we're ever going to see.
Yeah.
And the reason is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. Okay. There are certain things that I would certainly change out of this bill, but you know, perfect is often the enemy of good in this situation because perfect doesn't get passed.
Right.
All right. And it's not a perfect bill if you can't get it passed. And this bill, I think you could get it passed if you got everybody kind of on the same page, because it was a very good bill that addressed a lot of the problems, and it issued out regulation that was acceptable to all the folk, the interested parties involved. And that has very rarely been the case.
Yeah. And the other thing is, where the Senate version would not only cost the state money, I mean, money that it did not realize, it really will not fund the mechanism to enforce the law.
Right.
And without the enforcement portion of it, you're going to see these bootleg joints, these one-armed bandits in every grocery store, beauty salon, and sushi bar in the state. And that, Josh, defeats the whole purpose of why they initially went down this road.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, you're right about the enforcement part of it, but even more so, it's the things that people actually cared about in the original bill. And when you do polling about gambling, the things that they wanted to pay for are education related expenses, specifically college scholarship programs and the like. And that was in the House version of this bill. Yeah. We had free 2-year college, including a lot of workforce development stuff that was in there. And then on top of that, we had an element that could do something to aid rural health care. Now, people speculated that it was Medicaid expansion. It was not. That was just a line that was used by a lot of people to try to kill the bill. But there was, we were going to do really good things in this bill with the $1.2 billion that we were projected to receive annually. And now we've taken that in the Senate version, and you have the same number of casinos, but you're not going to play the same games in them. You're going to have a state lottery, and there's no sports wagering, although there's still going to be $2 billion worth of illegal sports wagering in the state. And for all of that, for all the same casinos and all the same problems that you're going to have, you're going to lose $700 million a year.
And one of the things, Susan, we are hearing, and I believe this is true, is that because they had so many new members in the Senate, and nobody took the reins in the Senate, there was no leadership in the Senate, because they had so many new members, they did not understand the nuances of this. And therefore, groups like the Alabama Policy Institute, And Alpha Insurance were able to go in there and lie and tell them falsehoods so that they believed one thing and it actually was the opposite. So over time, they've been educated, and it seems like there's more of them that now go, oh, I see why the House bill is the way it is.
Right. I think they got a baptism of fire as to how difficult it is to navigate lobbying interests in Montgomery here right out of the gate. Because there are very strong lobbyists on both sides of the issue here. And they really, they took advantage of the fact that these were newbies. But I think they're more educated now. I think they can do a better idea of what they're voting for. And let's not forget that also for the sheriffs and whatever, this gives them some teeth to get rid of the illegal.
Yeah.
Because the illegal game in the back of the, you know, Harris lawn, it's a misdemeanor. So you go, you pay a fine, you come back, you reopen, you go, you pay a fine. If it becomes a felony, which this bill will do that.
When I know that there were people who probably wondered about it being in the back of the sushi bar. But see, what they don't know is up on Sand Mountain, Betty's Beauty Box, they have a sushi part back there. They have a sushi bar. You can get your hair and nails done and also chainsaw sharpening on Saturdays. But Josh, before we get out of here, I do want, you never been there? Betty's Beauty Box and sushi bar. Before we get out of here, I think it's important for individuals to understand what the last thing you said. Education will benefit greatly in this state if this passes.
Yeah, it is. There's a dedicated education component in this bill, in the House version of the bill, that was removed in the Senate version, and that dedicated component goes in and puts the lottery funds into a special account to pay for 2-year college scholarships and also to pay for increased security at public schools all around the state. And I think those two things are very, very important. I know I've seen the polling.
Yep.
They're very important to voters out there, and they're very important to the support of this thing.
Yeah, people want this to pay for an education in Alabama. We can give 2-year college scholarships. We can do training, technical training. Mm-hmm. We can do a lot of things with this money from the House bill. We cannot do any of it with the Senate bill. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.